If you've lived in Kansas City for a while, you know the drill for pulling up to the Kansas City International Airport, and muscle memory just takes over the second you arrive. It's just a quick little loop-de-loop around Terminal A, B, and C, and there you are, curbside, next to the airline of your choice. All you have to do is saunter up to the bunker-like structure with its weird cement awnings made of interlocking triangles. If you travel a lot, you know that this isn't typical for airports, but neither is landing in a good-sized city and finding there's no line of taxis waiting to take you to a hotel or meeting, and nothing to eat if your plane lands late at night. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today, we're going to step back from the debate about the future of KCI and ask what our airport's little quirks say about us as a city. Daniel Serta is our regular urban design guy. He's with us from Insight Design. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning, Gina.
Someone recently told me that the airport is like Kansas City's handshake. It greets people to town when they arrive and sends them off when it's time to go. Do you think that's accurate?
I think that's a great way of thinking about a facility like an airport. I would say an airport is part of the civic infrastructure of a city. It's part of how people obviously arrive and depart, but it's also part of how symbolically people think about their at least initial, sometimes superficial, but initial exposure to a city. I could rattle probably 20 cities that I've only been to their airport. In other words, I can only say I've only been to that city because I flew through their airport.
When you hear the names of those cities, do you kind of picture those airports?
I do sometimes. It depends on how memorable or immemorable they are. And it can be memorable because it's a great experience. You know, sometimes places are memorable because they're not such a great experience.
So what would you say are some of the things Kansas City's airport, as it is now, might say about us and what we value? There are obviously going to be many interpretations of every little detail, but
sure.
What are some of the ways you could see people interpreting our airports?
Well, I think if you ask the average person in Kansas City, the word you would probably hear a lot is convenience. There's this sort of almost, at least sensibility that, it's a worry-free experience. You can get in there, you can get out of there. I think even people that don't necessarily like this airport or think it needs to be replaced will tell you, yes, I understand and I appreciate the whole issue with convenience of getting out and getting in and out of there quickly. But I think the...
This kind of reminds me of like a joke that we have in my family mm-hmm. about this legendary thing my mom once said about one of her cars. She proclaimed, "This is a great car. It always starts and it always stops."
That's a nice way of thinking about it. It obviously, it has to go beyond that, though, right? That in and of itself is not an adequate measure of, functionally whether an airport is adequate or even, going back to the point I was making before symbolically. I mean, I find it very interesting that one of the major things done back in 2002, whenever it was that the last round of renovations were done, was the installation of a lot of imagery of the actual city. Not just the sort of illusions of, airports or flights. I mean, there's some airports that, you go there and there's planes hanging in the airport and that sort of thing. But actual imagery of the experience of the city is something that was inserted as part of that redesign.
Do you think that's part of like the setting of the airport, though, because you aren't in the city center or anywhere near it when you land? I mean, you land and you see vast nothingness.
Well, that's absolutely true. I can't tell you the number of times I personally have been on a plane when a flight attendant has said, "We are making our approach into Kansas," and I hear chatter among the passengers. No, we're not in Kansas. We're in Missouri. There's this aloofness of obviously of any airport from the environs of the city that it's in, but not every city has made it a point of inserting imagery of itself into its airport to make sure that people understand. No, these corridors, this concrete, this flooring, that's not the image that we want you to have of our city. It's the fountains. It's this intersection. It's these experiences.
But so if convenience, though, is the main like refrain people like to repeat about what our airport represents, what do you think that says in a larger sense about Kansas City if we value a very particular kind of convenience, right? Because it's not the convenience of having the greatest number of direct flights to the greatest number of cities, for example.
Sure.
It's the convenience of how close you are to your car on some level.
It absolutely is, because it's certainly not the convenience of the proximity to the city proper either, right? The airport's 20 miles away from downtown. And so people don't think about the convenience issue at KCI relative to, you know, oh, I'm downtown and I'm in a meeting at 4 o'clock and it's just, you know, a few skips and hops and, you know, I'm there in 5 minutes. There is the reality that KCI and its location, this will always be true of most airports anyway, just because they're such large facilities with such large environmental footprints. But it's very much an era, an artifact of the era in which almost everything about Kansas City was about being in an automobile and the convenience of having very simple, almost near drive-through access or drive-up access.
But what about
an automobile?
The personality of the airport? Because the personality of the airport, I would say there's something sort of unassuming about the airport here. And I think that's maybe a point of pride for a lot of Kansas Cityans about our identity. Even as we strive to become a more and more world-class city, I think there's something in a lot of people here that kind of rebels against that too, on some kind of personality level. Like, we're not going to become pompous and we're not going to think we're too good for that. Like, we have our airport that's been the airport and will continue to be the airport. We will not be too good for our airport.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it from a standpoint of architectural design, it's unassuming. Right. There is nothing ostentatious about any of the terminals at in Kansas City. If there is, it's the cloverleaf, you know, three terminal design itself, you know, that architecturally was the concept back at the time. You know, you could go through a whole litany of airports around the country where clearly a particular architect has tried to make a very strong, bold statement in the exterior architectural design of the facility. Again, I think the experience from the time that it was constructed at KCI is largely about the visitor experience and the inside of the airport, you know, the proximity to the gates and that sort of thing, all of which are obviously under debate right now in terms of their adequacy for 2017 and beyond.
There's some history, though, behind the airport conversation in Kansas City. Can you fill us in on some of that?
Sure. Well, the airport was one of several projects conceived of during the 1960s and realized in the early 1970s that were part of a movement called Prime Time, which was a civic initiative that was about broadcasting to the rest of America and the world, frankly, that Kansas City was a city reaching its prime time. In other words, we'd sort of reached that pinnacle and we were going to reach out and grab those things that really define us as a city, you know, that has arrived, a city that needs to be emulated and needs to be recognized for its sense of achievement, its sense of confidence about itself. That included, for example, the construction of the Truman Sports Complex as part of that civic infrastructure. That, you know, we're all of a sudden going to have two major league teams. We've arrived in that sense. We're a city that's large enough and that has a large enough market to support two professional sports teams. And we've got these facilities that are state of the art that are going to represent that as well. It was also, you know, a time when Bartle Hall was being constructed. So we've got this major new convention facility where those visitors that arrive at KCI are going to come and gather and be in meetings at, you know, the major new convention facility. And then we had a new sports arena in Kemper Arena, which, if you remember, within a few years of its opening, was hosting the Republican National Convention. You know, we're that caliber of a city. And that was the entire spirit of the entire notion of prime time. And KCI and its construction and its opening and Kansas City's arrival as a major city with an international airport was certainly a key marketing aspect of that.
You know, you're mentioning the sports stadiums kind of reminds me of something a friend of mine said a few years ago when there was that talk about renovating what was once Royal Stadium and now Kauffman Stadium.
Sure.
Renovating that and making that a more state-of-the-art experience. My friend really objected because his take was like, this stadium as it was the everyman stadium. All seating was equal. Like, and this said something about Kansas City. And I wonder if you could see the airport in kind of the same way, like that KCI has an everyman airportness about it.
Think about it this way. You know, the experience of flying, you know, historically, especially back in that period, would have been very distinctly an upper middle class experience. Most people could not necessarily afford to buy an airplane ticket and travel somewhere. Today, you can't imagine traveling anywhere, you know, of any considerable distance without being able to fly. But part of what's made that possible is the economic structure of the airline industry and how travel has sort of shifted. There's a good side to that. There's a bad side to that. We could go on and on and on about, you know, the experience of being in the airplane itself. But the reality is, you know, it's a fairly, especially if you go back to the early period of flight, back toward and before World War II, it's a very upper, distinctly upper middle class experience to do that. So this notion that there's a more democratic approach where you literally can walk in the terminal and there's this array of gates in front of you and you can almost choose your destination from a board and simply walk in. You know, some of my earliest memories as a kid, because I had a brother who's much older than me who was in the military and was constantly flying in and out of KCI, are going to that new airport and that novelty of that experience. And back then in the 70s, before, you know, the terrorist attacks of the 1980s and certainly before 9/11, you literally could walk in off the curb at KCI and be in any of the gate areas, you know, staring at airplanes and people about to disembark. So there's a very almost democratic ethos to the original design of the airport that I think is very much in tune with what you were describing.
This whole thing about, though, the airport, even like since it was built, representing this idea of Kansas City striving to be more. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit of when the Royals were in the World Series and Sly James wrote an open letter to America all about the love Kansas City was getting at that time, being about more than baseball, being a major league in more than the baseball sense. I'm sure. Not going to lie. I actually cried when I read this letter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to skip around, but here's some of what he said about Kansas City. We don't pretend to be something we're not. We're hardworking, not needy. We're friendly, not cold. We're classy, not pompous. We're edgy, certainly not boring, and we are fun. Above all, we are real. Being real resonates. It's charming, and it's Kansas City. And then this is the line that got me. That sound you hear is Kansas City pulling up its chair to the table of great cities. And honestly, like if you've lived in Kansas City through crises of self-perception, you know, like really low self-esteem times, then you in that moment of the World Series, that idea that we're pulling up our chair to the table mm-hmm. of great cities is powerful.
Absolutely.
But that letter has both things, right? The pride in who we are and our underdog charm and the desire to be more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That goes back to the ethos of the primetime movement that I was talking about before. I mean, we had two major civic leaders, Charles Kimball of Midwest Research and Don Hall from Hallmark, that led that effort. One of the first things they did was they hired a New York publicist to go on, you know, basically get the national media engaged. And if you go back and look at, you know, periodicals from the day, there were stories about Kansas City showing up all over the place in the national media because of the primetime effort. And it was telling that story, those threads of that story. And the thread that really wove it all together was this notion we often hear almost take it for granted anymore. I think that Kansas City was becoming world class. I think that's the first definitive period where you can say this notion or this aspiration of Kansas City being world class was really put out there as part of the narrative of how we understood ourselves and our own aspirations as a city. And what could better epitomize that than the fact that we have an international airport, although as one commentator noted at the time, we actually had no international flights when the airport originally opened. They were all domestic flights. We didn't have an international terminal like, say, you know, New York or Chicago. And if you wanted to go somewhere outside of the United States, you still had to fly to one of those major hub cities. But it was the aspiration. It was the pretense, if you want to call it that, that striving, that sense that we're announcing that we've arrived, and what better symbol of that than the fact that we have an airport and we're going to become part of the economy nationally as a destination and a sort of a hub in this larger system that makes people aware of how important and how much the city has kind of come into its own.
Christopher Schaberg is with us now. He's the author of multiple books on airports, The Textual Life of Airports, Reading the Culture of Flight, The End of Airports, and Airportness, The Nature of Flight. That one's coming out in September. Hi, Christopher.
Hi, Gina. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What inspired you to write three books about airports?
Well, for me, this all began in 2001 when I was a graduate student and I had a part-time job at the little airport outside of Bozeman, Montana. And it was just a job to pay the rent. But gradually I started to realize it was a very strange and interesting place. And then later I wrote my PhD dissertation on airports in American literature and culture. So it started from very practical, hands-on stuff, and then became an interest that I took on more academically.
What is strange and interesting about airports?
Well, we've just heard, I mean, everything you and Daniel have been talking about has been so fascinating to me, these tensions between a democratic experience and a more classist or exclusive experience, the tensions between the city and then the airport that's often far away from the city, and how do you balance that? I think the tensions between a sort of pride in place, but also wanting to connect to these larger national, even global networks. So all these tensions, I think, crystallize at airports, and we see them in every moment of airport life, but then sometimes they all come to a head, like in this case where you're thinking about how do we imagine a new airport or a renovation of an airport that we've come to be very fond of.
Why does it matter to us, like, what our airport is like, as in its personality or whatever? I mean, you'd think we'd just want whatever kind of airport would get us to and from the places we want to travel to safely and effectively, like, efficiently.
Yeah, and also we would just accept all the contingencies that come with that, like delays and weather and technological snafus. But as Daniel was saying earlier, it's all about the symbolism. It's about how does this stand for who we are as a people, whether that's the city or the whole country? And so I think the symbolism of airports is something that we often don't realize how heavy it is, but we all sort of carry it with us.
Can you give some examples of cities and their airports and like how they make different statements on those tensions, like land on different places along the spectrum of that pride in place, being the specific place that it is, and that idea that this is where we're connecting, this is where we're part of this global community?
Sure. I've always been interested in the Denver airport. It's a very distinctive airport in terms of its architecture, and you can see it from out on the runways, those big Kevlar tents against the front range of the Rockies. And then the airport itself, through its public art installations and its signage, its imagery, it really wants passengers to reflect on where they are on this in the middle of the country, but into the West. What's the history here, the natural history, the geology? That airport has always struck me as interesting, even though it's also just, again, a big generic airport, international airport, but it's trying to get people to think about its place in space. Let's see, another one. I recently flew into Milwaukee Airport, and I was struck by how bland it appeared from the outside. And then when you went inside, it was full of all these local fare and a great used bookstore, and it had this sense of local identity that really struck me. Even though from the outside, I was almost dreading it as we approached the terminal.
So there is a kind of a decision about what vendors to have, in addition to maybe how many and how vibrant of a vendor scene, but like that these are local businesses said something to you, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's right. And I've seen this play out at my own home airport in New Orleans, and we're currently undergoing a new airport construction project. But when you all were talking about the convenience of KCI, it reminded me of how locals in New Orleans talk about our current arguably obsolete airport. People say, yeah, but it's so laid back. It's just so chill. You can just go in there and get a drink and, you know, mosey to your gate. No one bothers you. And that's been a tension point at our airport, the ethos or the spirit of New Orleans. And what is a new world-class airport going to do to disrupt that?
What does KCI say about Kansas City? Call 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman, KCUR's Central Standard. We'll be right back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we're talking about our airport as Kansas City's handshake with the world. So if it's our handshake, what does it say about us? Call 816-235-2888 to tell us what you think our distinctive little airport, the way it is now, says about the personality of our city, what we value, what we maybe don't value, what we prioritize, and how we come across. 816-235-2888. If you happen to be in Kansas City from out of town, we'd be especially intrigued to hear from you. I'm going to talk now with a travel writer. Michael Mackey flies in and out of Kansas City a lot, and you might recognize his name because he used to host Kansas City Live. Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hello from Ypsilanti, Michigan, which is right outside of Ann Arbor.
Well, hello. So tell us your take on Kansas City's airport. If this is our handshake, what does it say?
It is funny because I am, because I'm kind of a road warrior, I am always probably two or three times a week flying in and out of KCI. And I have to admit, you're right. I keep hearing the term convenience, convenience, convenience. It is literally ideal for me. Is that the case for everyone? No, not necessarily. And I used to be in the vein of, no, we do not need a new airport. I like the one we have is fine. Da 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 da. I was not sold. Or in fact, we needed a new terminal. And I saw an article in the Kansas City Star, and I shared it on my Facebook page. And I opened it up publicly, which I never do. I always, you know, kind of have my settings tight. And once I said it to public, people came out of the woodwork to chime in on why we need a new terminal. And it really swayed my decision. I didn't know a lot of the backstory about how a lot of the infrastructure is outdated, all the behind the scenes things that go into an airport. I just see what I see literally in front of me. And a lot of people made a lot of very valid points on why we do need a new terminal. That being said, I fly to Indianapolis quite a bit. I was there just this week, and Indy for me would be an ideal airport to mimic. It literally has everything. It's a medium-sized market. It's a medium-sized airport. It's open. It's airy. It has a lot of food options, and it's convenient. It's super convenient, and I like everything that it sort of brought to the table. And I thought, you know, maybe I am actually a little bit more open-minded to the idea of a new airport concept after all.
Thinking about your experiences at KCI and then thinking about how you view Kansas City, do you think that there's a relationship between those two things? Do you think that, I mean, do you look at Kansas City itself and say, you know, I've always felt really like Kansas City doesn't need to change, but then there are maybe some things that you look at and say, well, okay, I love this place, but maybe it could improve in this way. You know what I'm saying?
Kansas City is definitely up and coming. It's burgeoning. It's a lovely place to live, and it's an even more lovely place to visit. Do I think that when visitors show up and they get to the airport, that they necessarily go, oh, this airport is completely indicative of what Kansas City is like as a whole? No, I do not think that is the case. It is a little outdated. It can be dark, crowded. But for the most part, people get in and out of airports. You'll spend a weekend in Kansas City, and you'll probably spend all of, like, I don't know, an hour maximum inside the walls of KCI. So do I think that it is a showcase for Kansas City? No, but I also don't think it's drawing attention to what Kansas City doesn't bring to the table. Let's put it that way.
Let's talk to someone else who travels a lot. Kat Mahari is a local movement artist, and she has her own take on Kansas City's airport. Hi, Kat.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How long have you been in Kansas City?
I started coming here back in 2005, but I've been back here for like 2.5 years now.
So you're at home in Kansas City, but you have a little bit of that perspective where you can still see Kansas City from the outside, maybe?
Yeah, I definitely I'm very comfortable with almost no matter what city I live in, and I'm in and out of KC regularly. So some people might say I'm at home. Some people might say I'm just always a visitor. You know how KC is.
Yeah, well, the first things that come to mind if you were asked to describe Kansas City, what are some of the first things that come to mind?
A really effective racism and classism really effective? So those are the first things that come to mind, and its disbursement within predominantly the African descendant community. There's not a single African descendant neighborhood that even has even somewhat partial control of their own land. I would say 18th and Vine, which I really love as far as the foundation goes, is mainly owned by the city to turn it into a Disneyland or to sell it off to its developers that they have already decided. So that's pretty much what I think of. When I think of KC, I think of, wow, so many beautiful people, so horribly oppressed.
Do you see signs of that in the airport?
Absolutely. It's obviously, just like Daniel was saying, a class thing. Getting to the airport, first of all, is 20 miles outside of the city. And if you have a car, which is not predominant in a lot of poor communities, even in Kansas City, you're going to have a massive struggle getting to the airport. You know, so that convenience of coming in and out of the terminal and just being able to go home, you're sorely lacking that, you know.
What are the first things that come to mind when you think of Kansas City's airport? Are they the same things, or are they things that haven't come up yet in as far as the relationship to
Kansas the city?
Yeah.
Well, I think it is symbolically, and I think it is a very strong projection of what KC is, which is this need to be very far, very spread out, and somehow have assert control of areas and bodies in such a way as to where you can even decide how they're going to maneuver and move. So that's pretty much what I think of when I think of the airport. So I think in that way, maybe it's not the same things that the previous people have been saying, but it does have a very strong projection of how the rest of the city operates, you know?
You know, you said something about Kansas City when you were talking about having been here for a few years. You said that in some ways you still feel like a visitor, and then you said, you know how KC is. How is Kansas City for a visitor?
KC can be very nice people as far as courtesy, as far as diplomatic manners, but that there's always an undertow of, but I don't know you. There's always that undertow of either I don't know you or I want to know you based upon my projection of what you can offer me.
Or do you get the sense maybe that there's more consideration in longtime residents for ourselves than for people on the outside who are arriving, who are coming in? Because we're getting a message from Greg who tweets us, everyone talks about how easy it is for residents, but not as much for business travelers. Does our airport say that we only care about ourselves?
If yourself is an upwardly mobile, perhaps white male or female, perhaps that's what the Kansas City Airport is saying. If you come from any of the disadvantaged sociopolitically and economic neighborhoods, then, and those are long-term residents of the city as well, then the city is going to be saying the same thing to you that it says to me. You're here and we'll decide what to do with you.
Daniel Serta, what do you think about this?
I think it's an interesting observation. I mean, there's two aspects that resonates with. I think going back to the tweet and that comment, the sort of inward versus outward regarding peace, I think, is actually a large aspect of what we were alluding to earlier and what's been a thread in this conversation, which is, you know, at the end of the day, for whom are we defining what the experience of the airport should be? A lot of the sort of what's out there in the ether, I think, focuses on one or the other. It's a, you know, as that person the tweet had said, we
so
think
like
about it for
land,
ourselves, but we don't think about it for the traveler who's just passing through.
If you land in your home, mm-hmm, then you might get to the airport and be like, "Ha, things just got easy." But then if you land and you are not home, yeah, you're the way you view that airport,
you know,
experience.
And that's about what is home. Where is
it
home?
Is.
Like, if you can get in a car and go home, you'd be like, oh, I'm home. But if you're getting on the bus, you're going to be like, oh, and I have another 2-hour journey ahead of me. You're not going to think, I'm here, I'm finally home, are you?
No.
So that who is us? When you ask that question, exactly, about us, who are you? I'm asking you, who are you defining as us?
Well, anyone from Kansas City is on some level home in Kansas City when they have,
yeah,
arrived at the airport.
Yeah.
How long the rest of the journey home is, that is a whole other question. And that
really
has a range
of
responses.
You think that's how it is? I think there's a lot of people who don't think, oh, I come into the airport, now I'm home. They think I'm closer to home. So then I think it's incumbent upon you to define, why are you thinking everybody's thinking the same thing as home as you?
Well, no, sorry. I mean, I guess I should clarify
I think you should.
That Kansas City, I mean, you have arrived in your home airport, and I totally recognize that the rest of the journey can be a variety of lengths and a variety of levels of convenience, and actually that it's very inconvenient to get to and from the airport, you know, varying degrees. But yeah, that's not, it's, the journey is by no means over at that point.
The logistical challenges that are implicit in everything what you're saying are part of the conversation. I mean, if you park in the economy parking, that's a fundamentally different experience when you get back, especially if it's late in the evening when the shuttle buses are not running as frequently, than if you've arrived and you've got someone, you know, that is very close, you know, an immediate family member who's standing there waiting for you in the terminal. And even that is not as easy to do as it once was, you know, especially, again, post 9/11. You know, it was not a big deal even, you know, 15, 20 years ago for someone to park at the curb and leave their car there. You can't do that anymore with the security requirements. And I don't know that necessarily the workarounds that we've devised, given the design of the terminal, really proved satisfactory to anybody.
I don't think they have, because even in Detroit, which is a bigger airport than KC, there's a much more comfortable experience waiting at curbside for a ride. And that's a bigger and busier airport than KC, because of course it connects to Toronto, Chicago, regular flights to New York. And at KC, you can't even be there for 5 seconds before they move. And you're like, wait, there's only two terminals operating even right now out of the three. And you want me to hurry up and move?
Yeah. Christopher Schaberg, talk to us about, I mean, Kat's raising some really important points about not just the difference between someone who's arriving in a city as an insider or an outsider, but also even just different, I guess, I don't know, different travelers with different access to different modes of transportation once they've finished flying. How do different airports handle this differently? And do you think that says something about the cities they're in?
Well, I mean, I think we've stumbled into these really thorny and important issues about how different people use, access, and experience airports. And it's not simple. And it goes beyond just logistics. It goes to these issues of race and class, demographics. And I mean, I was struck by looking at one tweet that came in. I think Philip tweeted something about MCI being a disaster. And then I look at the master plan and I see language about how the goal is to make it the ultimate passenger processing conveniences, first class arrivals destination. And you see these extreme formulations, this heavy language that's shaping this whole discussion.
Wait, can you explain that a little more? What kind of heavy language?
Well, I mean, just that it's either going to be a disaster or it's going to be the ultimate.
I gotcha.
And we know that's not the case. We know that there are many, many layers of experience and sort of existential feeling where it comes to our airports, all of our airports. And so we just can't, I don't think we can gloss any aspect of this, the locals versus out-of-towners, business use versus personal use, the people who work at airports. I mean, all these things are knotted together. So I don't think there's an easy way to approach this, but I think it's really important to have these conversations as you think about, well, what does our airport say about who we are? And are there things we can do to make this thing better for multiple groups of people, not just business travelers, not just people who call Kansas City home, and maybe a very narrow percentage of those people?
I was like, when Daniel was talking about those new pictures they have of KC, those quite tacky. Why didn't you get a professional photographer or a fine artist to come in and take those pictures? What's wrong with you? Are you that cheap? Pictures of KC. You know, like, I saw those pictures, because those pictures are relatively new to that airport, and I was just like, okay, this does not actually make me want to sit here and stay. I'm really happy that the sidewalk is only 30 feet away, because I'd rather just wait outside in the sun.
Well, you know, Michael, we haven't heard from you in a while. You were telling us about your many experiences traveling in and out of Kansas City. Do you have more to share now that you've heard what some of our other guests have been saying?
You know, I, as much as I travel, I can guarantee you there's probably not another airport where you can get dropped off and literally be at the gates of your choice by, you know, it's like 50 yards away. There have been times when I have been walked out of the car, walked across the street, and been at my gate within 5 minutes. And that is, like, unheard of in any other airport. That being said, if you are a if you're a constant traveler, you can get a little jaded if you go into KCI, because it's not up. Everything in Kansas City is up to date except for the airport. And, but that being said, I also feel like it's not a connector airport. Like a lot of times, you know, like it's not a LaGuardia or a Minneapolis or a Detroit, a Milwaukee, any of those connector airports that have a lot of flights that are O'Hare. So that being said, I'm getting to the point where I do want to see a new terminal, just for the fact that it will bring buzz. It will bring a certain sense of newness to everything that Kansas City has to offer.
All right. Well, we're hearing that not everything is up to date in Kansas City because of the airport. So, yeah, we're going to get to your calls about what Kansas City's airport says about us after this break. And Kat Mahari, thanks so much for joining us
today.
Thank
you.
I'm Gina Kaufman, KCUR Central Standard. We'll be right back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and we're talking about what Kansas City's airport says about us. Love it or hate it, if you want to keep it the same or renovate, maybe even have a whole new airport. Regardless of how you feel about that, what does the airport as it is say about us as a city, what we value, what we don't value? We've got lots of calls, and we're sitting here with Daniel Serta of Insight Planning, Christopher Schaberg, who's with us from Loyola University in New Orleans. He's the author of 3 books about airports, and Michael Mackey, a travel writer who's in and out of Kansas City a lot. So let's speak with Perry. Perry's joining us from Lawrence. Hi, Perry.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I wanted to share a story with you that my family experienced back in 2002. And I think it speaks to our openness and friendliness of Kansas City and our welcomingness. My wife and I adopted the second set of 3 children from Russia, all siblings. And so on our return, our first 2 children that we had gotten were there. They were infants. And 50 other people of our church and our community were there with signs and welcoming us. And there's just an experience that you have coming off of that terminal gate one by one and people screaming and yelling and welcoming you that could never have happened today in a modern airport. It would have to have happened back at baggage claim, which isn't nearly as intimate because there's so many people there. So I guess my question would be, I understand the need for a new airport for security and things of that nature and bringing us up to date, but is there a way to design it in a way that can bring and keep that intimacy?
So when you're talking about that, you know, when people get off the plane, the distance and the access, like between those who are greeting you and you who are arriving, that there's this sort of opportunity for a little celebration
that you absolutely
think says something about Kansas City and that you'd like to preserve.
Yes.
Christopher Schaberg, weigh in.
Well, I think it's a really important question, and it really, I think it gets at one of the kind of the paradoxes of airports, which is that, I mean, the airport is called the destination, but as we said earlier, I think, Gina, you mentioned it, it's not really the destination. Home is the destination. But we want airports to be something special. We want them to be a place that where you can have these magical experiences, but we also want them to be these efficient nodes that just get you home or just get you to your next place. And I think this is something that all airport design has to wrestle with, but we also have to think about it for ourselves, because it's all too easy to just dismiss every airport as just a node or somewhere you're going to pass through and then never see again, never feel again. What is it that we want from airports, and how do we think about them as destinations themselves versus things we just passed through?
Let's talk to Paul. Paul is with us from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Hello there. Well, I am a Kansas City resident for a long time, and I did my 8 years in the Army, so I had frequented Kansas City International. I can understand it being a sentimental thing. A lot of Kansas City residents don't know that even at the completion of KCI as we know it today, terminals A, B, and C, there was a concept for a terminal D. And from an aerial view, we see the layout of the airport of all the terminals in circles, if you will. That makes us a little unique in the layout. I've thought, well, one of the things that we need to do is we need to bring back that terminal D concept. You build the terminal D, you go to terminal A, you tear it down altogether. We can start from scratch from one end of the airport layout to the other. A lot of things that people don't know about here in this area, Kansas City has an advantage in the fact that our airport is still surrounded by all kinds of undeveloped land. That's a big advantage too, let alone we're in the heart of the nation, if you will. We can play on that.
Paul, are these things that you might say about Kansas City in general? Like that we have advantages that we don't capitalize on enough?
I would, yes. Well, it's a comfortable and easy, pleasing airport. You're going to find kind people anytime you go into the airport, whether from the Kansas City area or from another part of the country. That is a good thing that we can play on, because no matter who comes into KCI, whether it's a regional or national or international passenger, you know, you're going to just find the kindest people. That's, I think we can all play that on this region, Kansas City area, or ourselves, that kind of hospitality. But the layout of the airport is just so easy. I think maybe we need to start over. But like I said, the layout of the airport, architecturally and engineering standpoint, a lot of people don't know. We had a Terminal D that they were talking about at the time back in the 60s and even as late as the 70s.
Well, so Daniel, talk to me about some of the relationship between the early vision for the airport and what we have now, and if maybe there are pieces of that early vision that, I don't know, that people might be excited about.
Well, there's two things in what Paul said that are absolutely true. One is that just in terms of details, yes, there was a plan for, you know, an eventual Terminal D. In fact, there were plans for the parking garages that were different from the parking garages that were actually constructed in the 1980s. There were plans for actually semicircular parking garages that would be below grade. They weren't built that way because it would have been much more costly. But the larger context here is, of course, the site for the airport was – the site selection was driven by the fact that, A, the TWA overhaul bays had been near that site since the 1950s, but there was also a lot of land and a lot of potential room for the airport eventually to expand upon. And that's still fairly true, although, you know, my understanding is that, you know, there were terminal concepts that would have involved a literal relocation of the airport facilities that were contemplated a few years ago that were ruled not really financially feasible. But it is very reminiscent of just the sort of this forward-looking notion of room to expand and having the option, the luxury of that openness, notwithstanding all of these other detailed issues we've talked about what, you know, the front door itself.
But when it comes to infrastructure, Kansas City does love its own potential.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk with Brian. Brian is with us from Shawnee. Hi, Brian.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I do have an overall opinion of the airport. It's very utilitarian. And I'll speak to that in a minute, but I want to address something Kat said about kind of the racial overtones. You know, we had a downtown airport at one point, and it was chosen. It was decided to not be optimal, and it was moved. But could you imagine if we kept it down there? It obviously would have favored people from the inner city or the city of all types. But it would have disfavored people from the southern suburbs of Lee Summit and Johnson County. And people, you could have said from a racist point of view, wow, that really is favorable to downtown. But, gosh, could you imagine if we had all those flights to a downtown centrally located airport that we use today, it would drive people nuts. It would be noise pollution and everybody would hate it. So I just wanted to make that. But I see our airport as a utilitarian. It's just a means for them to get out of town or in town. It'd be a palace because flying cares about, you know.
We're getting kind of a bad connection, but Brian's point that Brian has a couple of points. First of all, back to this idea that the location of the airport says something perhaps about who and what Kansas City prioritizes, Daniel?
Sure. Well, there, you know, again, logistics was a factor in the decision to build a new airport back when KCI was originally constructed. You know, the length of the runways, the proximity of the runways to the tall buildings downtown, the flight approaches, all kinds of
and the issue of flooding
like
too, right?
Yes, all of those kinds of issues, as well as the traffic capacity of, you know, Broadway, North Broadway, to get passengers in and out of downtown. Those are all huge issues. It's just very reminiscent. I mean, there are a lot of airport discussions in other cities that get bogged down in those issues because, going back to the earlier caller, those cities don't have the luxury of having thousands of acres of land somewhere to build an entirely new facility or expand an existing facility. And they're very much, the choices are very much hemmed in by the footprint of where you're actually physically located. I think a lot of Boston Logan, which I used to fly into and out of all the time, which was actually built on land recovered from Boston Harbor, and it was incrementally expanded over the course of 30 or 40 years. And even today, you know, all of the airport discussions in a city like Boston are constrained by the geographic location of that facility.
Christopher Schaberg, this idea that the airport is a means to an end and that, you know, you just got to get out, got to get back. Is it realistic to expect human beings to view a place that they visit again and again and again through that kind of objective lens?
Well, I mean, I think as we're seeing here, it sometimes takes a little teasing out, but people have these investments, and the symbolism of airports is something that again, we carry around with us, whether or not it's articulated. I think I was just trying to think of other airports that have this. I mean, the Portland, Oregon airport, people do have a kind of fondness for that airport. And there are all these kind of, I mean, it's Portland, so of course, but there are all these ways that people inhabit that airport very in a very self-aware way, even if it's just a little cutesy or ironic. I just think, what does it mean for an airport really to be identified with the city and not just be a generic place? That seems to be the pressing question here. And it seems like one that we clearly don't have a good answer to for KCI yet.
Katie has tweeted us that she thinks at least one historic terminal should be preserved. Whether you like it or not, it's part of our history. Is that typical also that you see people having that level of sentimental attachment to their history, their airport's history?
I think once it's on people's radar, yes. But I mean, this is an interesting example where this conversation seems to be happening in advance of the actual construction. When we had our plans for the new airport in New Orleans, I was amazed at how few people in New Orleans actually even knew that they were considering building a new airport. And only after construction had begun, people were like, well, wait a minute, I really like our old airport. But having these kinds of conversations, I think, brings out these investments that people have.
Well, we've got a call from Joe that I want to get to. Joe, we're going to have to go quick, but you know, we just heard that Kansas City is looking for something unique, something that says Kansas City. What can you tell us?
Well, I grew up, born and raised here, so I consider Mid-Continent International our call sign. my home airport, even though I've been to SeaTac, DFW, San Francisco, Charles de Gaulle, something down in Mexico, I forget the name. And one thing is that structure, because a lot of airports, they branch out like trees, and, you know, you branch, and it's very efficient for the airlines, you know, to park. But KCI is centered around the customers. It's very efficient for the customers. You can throw a baseball to your car, but a lot of airports, you couldn't even hit one to your car when you get off the plane. And maybe it's because we're in a cow town. We're more sensitive to that. We ain't cattle. We don't like being treated like cattle. And I understand, you know, there's businesses that would go on command. They're going to be funded by something. But, you know, if there's old pipes or stuff, or, you know, the digital or coin-operated ping phones are old, and you want to go to Wi-Fi, then modernize and improve. But you can retain the character. And, again, I think it's port, like the guy said, and there's Terminal D. If you want to experiment with something, try it there. But it's really nice, and I've dropped people off, I've picked people up, and I've also taken the bus there as well.
Well,
no problem.
Thank you, Joe. Joe leaves us with the thought that we ain't cattle and we don't like being treated like cattle. So maybe that's a thought for something to keep in mind as we visit those future plans. Our time is up. Christopher Schaberg, Associate Professor of English at Loyola University in New Orleans and author of 3 books on airports, including the upcoming Airportness, The Nature of Flight. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Daniel Serta of Insight Planning and Vice Chairman of the KCATA Board of Commissioners. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kenji.
Michael Mackey, this has been fun. Thank you for being one of our travelers.
Thanks, my friend.
Tomorrow, we'll have a portrait session with local writer, mentor, and longtime Kansas Cityan Jose Faust. And you can listen to this conversation and any others at kcur.org/centralstandard. This show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Andrea Tudhope, and Suzanne Hogan. Danielle Hogarty is our producer. I'm Gina Kaufman.